All right, you guys are on the record for After Talk.
So when I come out for the Founders Club picnic.
Yes.
Ooh.
I want to at some point, maybe on that Monday, do kind of a sit down and just go through the strategy, particularly on Spoiler in Time, but just, you know, like see if there's any tweaks to improve the show, that kind of thing.
On the formatting side or preparation
side?
Yeah,
I feel like Spoiler in Time is broken.
it certainly is. And I mean, part of that is I don't blame you, and I want to blame myself, but there's only so many years we can keep leaning on the excuse of, well, they keep releasing stuff on Sunday nights, but also they keep releasing stuff on Sunday nights, Tom, and they're not going to stop.
When Spoiler in Time was the Spoiler Zone and it was The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, or Game of Thrones, it kind of worked as bonus content, but now it feels like a show that is actively discouraging you to watch if you don't already watch, right? Because it's like, here, you have to be following these six or seven shows. Also, we won't always talk about them in the order they aired.
And we might not all watch them at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes so people will leave. Other times they'll say, go ahead and spoil me.
Sometimes we'll stop watching a show halfway through.
Yeah,
or
I would say
we are and not. New Pope.
I mean.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like we could figure out a way to do that.
Well, I think one of the things that would be significantly helpful in that regard is to find out of the people listening right now. Of course, the only people who matter are real patrons.
Let's be honest.
Because I'm going to guess that some number of them, like this is their, there's some number of people out there where the Spoiler in Time is their flat out favorite part of the whole thing, the whole enterprise. Right. And then there's other people who are just like, it's an AB thing of like, did I watch that show? No, let me skip this. Did I watch that show? Yes, let me listen.
So here's the way, because if you're listening to this, there's a selection bias, right? You're much more likely to enjoy Spoiler in Time the way it is now, because if you didn't, you probably won't be listening to this. You know what I mean?
And probably not giving us money, yeah.
Yeah, so think about, like, what is the thing about Spoiler in Time you don't want to lose? You're like, this is what I love. Even if you change these other things, I always want to have this aspect of it. Like, what is it that you love about it?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I guess a post in a comment to the Patreon post for this episode of After Talk will be a good place. Or cordkillers@gmail.com to send in your feedback on that. Yeah, I wonder, because I know we have definitely over the past 6 to 12 months done a lot of shows on Spoiler in Time. And the fact that today we cut a show and still did five.
And also did almost an hour of talking about shows,
sure.
even though we cut one.
And I mean, at some point, I mean, we hint at this every so often when we talk, when there's too many shows, it's like, we can choose to give up something good. Like it is, I think, an okay thing to say, like, these are all good shows, but we have to just be picky and choose if it's just too much work.
We could gamify things where it's like, look, we're going to watch whatever we're going to watch, but there are only three slots of things we talk about. Three of them we get to decide, or we'll say there are four slots of things we get to talk about. Three of them we get to decide. One, the audience gets to decide. And then, and you know, whether it's a vote, like, you know, it might be a funny thing for them to force us to watch something that we continue to hate because they love hearing us. I mean, I would love to see more community involvement on that side of things.
I wonder, because I think you guys don't seem to have a good time talking about shows that you don't like.
Oh, I really enjoy talking about shows I don't like. And in fact, look, if I have a poor reputation with anyone, it's the number of people who don't understand why Brian has to be the person to poop on everything. And that's because...
No. It's not show. It's not those shows.
No,
it's the show where you're like,
I'm not,
this
is fine. I'm not going to... Yeah,
like, it's not bad enough to hate, but it's not good enough to keep watching.
Yeah. That's,
and here's the other thing. Like, all of this, that idea is a great Patreon perk. But Spoiler in Time right now goes out to everybody. So if we want to make Spoiler in Time just be a Patreon perk, then yeah, we can go all kinds of directions. If it's supposed to be another show, in the Corn Killers feed, then it actually needs more focus. It needs to be a thing that people can step into and go, oh, I know why I'm watching this. There's no elevator pitch to Spoiler in Time right now.
That's interesting, because I perceived that we could continue to have Spoiler in Time go out on the general feed and be a public-facing show, but what patrons get are essentially voting shares. Everyone else gets the show as it goes out, but if you want voting shares, then you get behind the paywall.
What is the reason to watch or view or listen to this show if you're new?
The outward-facing thing is, you know, in your podcast catcher app, you type in the words Better Call Saul, and you see news and reviews reviewing Better Call Saul or whatever.
This is a horrible version of that. This is, if I were to create a show that fulfilled that expectation, this is not how I would create that show.
That's why we had at one
because
point,
it's like, wait, I have to wait through all this other stuff to get there? Like, forget it, I'm out.
That's why we had talked about, and we didn't follow through on it, but we had talked about the idea of creating, like, essentially having Spoiler in Time being five independent shows, each with their own RSS feed, each 15 to 20 minutes long.
Which is still a Patreon perk, or still a Patreon goal. We just didn't hit that goal, and we stopped promoting it.
Well, that was taking the old ones and chopping it up and giving patrons that.
But it would effectively be that going forward, too.
I almost feel like that's backwards. You need to do it the other way, which is the public gets Better Call Saul, and that's it. And that is compelling. And then it's like, oh, if you want more of our thoughts about more shows, become a patron and get more of that.
God, I'm just realizing how much
patrons get to do the thing. Like, we make Brian and Tom watch a show and vote on stuff. Like,
can I suggest a thing? Because one of the things it will definitely be more intellectual work, but I think it'll be deeply rewarding. You realize that means we get to come up with. So picture Spoiler in Time exactly as it is right now. Only the only thing we're adding is before each thing, we like at the end of each segment, we wrap it up like it's the end of an episode, and then we introduce a new show with a clever pun. That means we get to come up with so many names of things. You know, welcome to Saul's Footprint, the only show dedicated to Better Call Saul, season 3 or whatever.
I think the thing I would be concerned about that is
the amount of work you'll have to do is
the amount of work. Every time you say get to, I think have to. The other thing is, if you are someone who is, what I like about Spoiler in Time now is the thing that fan casts generally are not, which is like, I don't really need to listen to 45 minutes to an hour of someone talking about this week's episode of Better Call Saul, because I watched the episode and I had my eyes open during it. Where with Spoiler in Time, the idea is like, if you are watching the stuff that's on TV right now, we may be watching that with you, and it's not an hour long about an hour long pod or an hour long TV show. And so just to like give some plus points to the way we have it now, if you are keeping up with a TV show, you have today you had four chances to have a show that is current. There is a podcast.
You know what's interesting is maybe another direction we could go is right now a problem that we have is that we're just offering analysis on things that we are assuming the listener has also watched. But what if we added a preamble segment where it's like maybe on a rotating basis or whatever, where it's like, hey, this week, Tom, you have to summarize. To someone who's never seen, like, imagine you're on the street, you got somebody who ain't never seen Breaking Bad, ain't never seen Better Call Saul. How do you describe last night's episode in a compelling way that requires no footing? And then that becomes kind of a game we could play, and suddenly takes what might be content that is of no value to somebody because they're not watching Better Call Saul, but now all of a sudden it's like, well, describe it to me and then talk about it. Like for example,
is that the audience though? Like, if
I mean,
people go into
Spoiler
in Time knowing
for
that
a segment.
For example,
addresses my fundamental question about who Spoiler in Time is for and where should it be to best suit that.
A really good.
But that could lead to, if let's say we did that in the Better Call Saul segment each week, and we just excise Better Call Saul and put that out publicly. And the rest of Spoiler in Time is for patrons. That could be a way that people like catch on and like that, and it's different from other fan casts.
So
and captures that element of Spoiler in Time that Bryce was describing he liked, and points them to like, hey, if you like that element, there's more of that. More, there's more where that came from.
One thing that pops into my mind that I guess who do it very well is Red Letter Media. One of their sub shows is Review. And I will, if it's a movie that I love, I will watch Review so I can get their take on the movie I love. Mm-hmm. If it's a movie I know for a fact I'm never going to watch, I will watch oftentimes Review specifically because I know they will give me enough of the bullet points of what happened that it is now in my storytelling cosmic consciousness and also their takes. So now I'm like, well, good. I got in 45 minutes what normally would take 2 hours to download. Plus, I, you know, these people whose opinions I trust will be on there. So I wonder if
there's... But for TV, are people going to do that 10 times in a season?
I think so. I think that there are shows that you're probably better off hearing a 10-minute synopsis of than investing an hour watching.
But also, how many movies are in each episode of Review?
One. So,
and so this, you don't have to wade through three other movies to get to the one that you were interested in hearing about.
Yeah, but I will watch three episodes. So if there are four episodes of Review and I've only seen one of those four movies, I will watch three movies that I've not seen.
And each one, you know exactly what you're getting in each one.
Correct.
That's my hang up with Spoiler in Time is try to promote it to someone. It's like, well, it's got these six episodes of shows, these six different shows this time.
Yeah.
I don't.
And it's spoilers, right? Like if it was just, hey, we're going to talk non-spoilery. Everybody's welcome. We're going to talk about different shows. That's one thing. But if it's like in this world where people are actively avoiding spoilers, we're telling them, come into a show filled with things you may not want to hear because you haven't seen it yet.
It's funny because you're right. The word spoiler itself, for somebody who's obsessed with branding and names and stuff, the word spoiler itself means radioactive, do not touch. When in fact, if we called it explainin' time, think about how many people who wouldn't
that
want...
But you still can't spoil then.
Sure. No. Catch up time or whatever. Take the thing that we're treating as a detriment and make it the feature, not a bug.
But that sidesteps my point, which is if it's explaining time, Better Call Saul, great. And it's like spoilers ahead. If it's explaining time, five unrelated shows, now I'm like, you know what? That's too much to worry about. I'm not going to go in there.
Unless
it's explaining time, non-spoilery, what we're watching, then I'm in.
No,
but if I have to worry that I'm going to get spoiled by something I haven't watched, people aren't cool with that. Like you're making people have to think too much and they're just not going to subscribe.
I think that if we're blue skying this and we're imagining starting from scratch, positioning it as your cultural gestalt catch-up hour, the idea that it's like, look, you're not going to watch all this crap. You just want to be caught up with it. Here we are. We watched it all. Here it is today. And there is a show called The Daily Zeitgeist that quite literally is that. It's just...
And
it's
just
spoil?
They in detail say, this is what everybody's talking about. Congratulations, you're all caught up. And we told you what everybody's talking about. We told you why they're talking about it. We told you our opinion on it. Goodbye. And then and they do that for like four or five top stories. So,
but they have a focus, which is these were the hot shows today and we're telling you all about it.
Yeah. And so
is that a daily show?
And we always deliver on that promise.
Daily Zeitgeist is 4 out of 5 days a week, I believe. I think they do a best of on Friday. But that's
work to make sure like we're hitting the things think are in Zeitgeist.
Plus also we're breaking it by going back and doing library shows from 1990, right? That's a little bit off brand if that's the direction we want to go. But
I think the simplest and easiest solution in this world where we're saying that there's a problem and we don't need to solve it tonight is each show should have its own feed, and then there should be a master feed that should have all the shows, and then we just, instead of recording one long show, record a lot of segments and stuff. But we made a point how many years ago now to make that a Patreon goal,
but I think that very clearly is not something that the patrons in general, not individual patrons, sure, maybe are exceptions, but patrons in general do not find that a compelling goal.
Yeah.
Or at least not enough to show up, you know, with yeah, their axes and shields and so, horse.
And so then it sounds like conceptually we would consider changing fundamentally its spoiler in time. Is that a good read on it?
I think we just need to bring some focus to it. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. So in other words, I would say to anybody listening right now who maybe has a twinge in the back of their head saying, oh my God, are they going to take away the thing that I love? No, nobody's taking away nothing. This is the fact finding part of things. So now's a really good time for all of you patrons to write us at chordkillers@gmail.com. And in fact, what you'll really be doing is show prep for next week on what I assume will be a even longer after talk moment.
If we get a bunch of good feedback from folks, definitely.
Sure. I had a thing for after talk, unless you were hinting that we're going too long.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that I have a feeling we've only barely seen the tip of the iceberg.
I would like to get back to being done with all of our stuff by 6 Pacific.
Yeah, I have noticed, I have noticed conversation creep, and I know that you, Tom, in particular, are at the beginning of what traditionally is a big news day, a big day for DTNS. This is a hard-working day for you, and then we go extra long.
Yeah, I would say, I don't think we got started until quarter after today, so I think, and that's most of where we're at right now. So,
well, our spoiler in time wasn't particularly long.
Not particularly, no.
No.
I can take a look
Even with as many shows.
Can I lock in my guess? I think that main show went 49 to 50 minutes long, and spoiler in time went 47 minutes long, if I was going to guess.
Let's see. Spoiler in time was about 50 minutes. And the main show, you know what? I actually did not take an out point at the main show, but the main show looks like it was probably about, it looks like it was about an hour.
Oh.
It does not look wildly off. I don't have the exact out point, so I don't know that for right now. But
anyway, you were saying, Bryce, what was the thing you wanted to ask about?
Oh, the other thing. So we just started watching Better Call Saul. It just came back. How did everybody choose to watch it? Because I think before 2020, Brian and I would have kept watching it on PS View, which is no longer existent. And so how did everybody solve the Better Call Saul problem?
I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but I did Philo.
Right. How's Philo?
7-day trial to get it on Sunday, and then bought the season pass.
Okay.
So even though I still had Philo technically on Monday, cause I did a free 7-day trial, so that I could actually watch it Sunday. I did the 7-day trial, watched it on Philo, and then episode 2, I watched on Tuesday with the season pass. And that's how I'm going to watch the rest of it.
Okay. Tom or Brian, what'd you
do? I think the entire run of Better Call Saul, outside of that one season that I watched on Sling TV. But this is in the early days of Sling. There was a lot of problems with it, and I got frustrated. I think I just continued to buy all of it on Amazon. I've never seemed to be able to watch it live. I always watch it the day after.
Watching it on the PS View DVR? It was there. I don't know. I was there.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that season I did. Seasons, yeah. I think, yeah. No, that's a good point. But I know
I watched a season on Sling, and last year I watched it on PlayStation View for sure.
I remember being very frustrated with Sling, but again, it was early.
I think I may have bought a season in there somewhere too.
That Sunday episode, the first episode of the season, Sling was doing this thing because I had had a week of Sling. I had already used up the Sling trial, and maybe I even had a month some time ago, maybe from the AAF. They're like, hey, we are doing a 1-day trial. Remember how PlayStation View shut down? We're going to give you a free day. And so I did that on Sunday, and I watched it live, and that was an all right time. Except for the fact that you cannot rewind or pause AMC on Sling TV, which is just annoying.
Bonkers.
And then they actually...
That's so dumb, because Philo, which AMC is like in bed with, you can.
Yeah. Well, and so then the Monday they charged my card. I was like, all right, I'll do this. We'll try it. It's got the DVR. I can watch the DVR version. I go to watch the DVR of 502, the one we talked about this week. It would not load. The DVR for last week's episode would not load. And when I called support with the error number, they were like, yeah, that error, you just kind of have to wait. And sometimes it will flush out of the system, which is not a good thing to say when that's the only thing I wanted to watch on the show.
Right.
So,
and you're watching it like on what ostensibly is a premiere of the episode live at the moment.
Yeah.
And also like Sling is kind of expensive. And so I was like, look, this, I wanted to watch one show. And now instead of paying you $30 a month for 3 months to watch this show, I would like a refund, please. And I will go spend $25 and buy it on iTunes.
Man, I will say this much.
It's so frustrating that happened.
If you cancel everything and your magic number per month allows you to highly recommend the experience of just buying everything on Amazon. The only bummer is that you have to wait till the day after, which is dumb, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. But I'll put this on a billboard. Amazon, the closest thing to the quality of piracy. Like, it's well, great.
I would say it does. If you're like, I hate Amazon, Brian, I irrationally will not do that.
It's on all
then
of them.
Great. Do Apple or Vudu or Google Play.
Get over the hump of buying it.
You basically get the same benefit no matter what store you're going to.
And you know what? I'm going to say this. So I bought it on iTunes. And so I watched this one on my computer. Normally, I do watch on my TV. I watched this one on my computer, which meant I had to update iTunes. And I had to use the iTunes player to watch it. And the iTunes player has not been updated in quite a while. For example, when you click on the middle of the video, nothing, it does not pause. If you click left or right on the arrow keys, as if you would on other services want to jump ahead or jump back by
this
10
is
or 30
on,
seconds.
On Windows?
On iTunes Windows, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The left and right buttons are still seek buttons, and so they just will take you back to the very beginning of the episode or skip you to the end of it, which is bizarre that it's still like that, but it's also
iTunes. Well, you know why that is. In the latest version of macOS, they got rid of iTunes. So right. Now you have a podcast app, a TV app, you know, they're all separated.
Oh, and the TV app has TV controls.
And the TV app has everything beautifully in it. They just haven't created Windows versions of that yet. So you have this ancient, barely maintained iTunes when you're on Windows, which is like not really a good idea for them for selling Apple TV Plus subscriptions, but okay.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, one last nugget on how we consume the media. Sure. If you told me 10 years ago that I would feel like the quality of presentation is, I don't want to say negligible, but within 20% one way or the other between my home theater setup, my desktop computer with widescreen, ultra-wide monitor, and my phone, I would have laughed in your face. But I definitely watched Better Call Saul episode 1 with Bonnie on my phone. Yeah, skipping the boring parts. I was like, you don't need that. This is the rock star scene. This is a good scene. And then we watched all of the second episode. That story
also on your phone?
Yeah, that story lives in my mind. It's a bit like reading a paperback versus a hardcover or whatever. It's like story's just as alive up here. I am shocked at how narrow the gap between the two in presentations have become.
It's funny that you say that because last week, as I was having the Sling TV thing, I was having a tirade on Twitter because Hulu and Netflix are still resolution limited if you watch them through Google Chrome, and it's very frustrating to me, and I had had enough, and I got mad and I played myself, and I spent a significant amount of time talking to someone who does not speak English trying to get them to understand a long story, but I have actually been very frustrated with the desktop watching experience, specifically Hulu and Netflix. I'm sure Amazon and iTunes, I was able to watch it in HD, but just like watching Hulu, and I'd pulled something up and it was so blurry, and I was like, come on, this is not, I have fiber, I have a video editing computer, I don't want to use Microsoft Edge to get HD. And it got me.
Why not?
Because I don't want to use two browsers. I don't want to use a specific browser. I don't want to live in two different browsers like that. I already don't like doing that with Firefox, which I do for some of the Twitch stuff. But that's just because I have a different log.
Eight browsers open right now. Eight different browsers. So it just, it's a different. I'm not recommending that.
What's funny is
there are people who only want to use one browser. A more common thing.
The ecosystem I live in with three daughters and the missus is I look and I see all the browsers that are all logged in for different people, and then whatever browser's not yet installed that I can log in as myself and get everything synced, that's the new browser that I install.
Well, and also, like, when I'm on, like, a tech support chat with some guy, and he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry that you're... Well, can we try Firefox? And, of course, Firefox is not going to work because Firefox also does not have the right DRM. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, what if we just tried Microsoft Edge? And it's like, I know Microsoft Edge is going to work. I don't want to use Microsoft Edge because I don't want to have a third browser. It's so... figure it out, please. Someone please figure this out.
Okay.
Tom, can you please figure this out?
When you figure it out, email us, cordkillers@gmail.com.
Good solution. Thank you, Tom.
That Bryce can implement that. Thank you. Thank you in advance.
And thank you to patrons.
Thank you, everybody. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.